Welcome to Shoulders Down, a podcast for truth seekers who want to heal their relationships with food and body. I'm your host, Leah Kern, and I'm an anti-diet dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, and fellow truth seeker with personal experience navigating disordered eating. In this podcast, you'll learn to harness your body's innate wisdom to govern not just how you eat, but also how you live. It's my mission to help you heal your relationship with food and body so you can live your most aligned and fulfilling life. Welcome, and I'm so glad that you're here. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Shoulders Down. Today, we have a solo episode for you, and it's a topic I'm excited about. Today's episode is 11 things you can do today to shift your relationship with your body. I want to say up top that I'm always cautious with these lists of, like, you know, five tricks to do this or X amount of number of things to do this, because they sort of conjure up diet culture-y feelings for me sometimes of, like, you know, I remember reading on freaking, what was it? BuzzFeed? No. Yeah. BuzzFeed. That, like, news, I don't know, whatever BuzzFeed was. I think it's still a thing. I remember desperately scouring the internet late at night after a binge for, like, five tips to quickly burn belly fat or clear my acne or whatever. And it was always inevitably some, like, super diety things, like guzzle this green tea, do this obscure ab workout. For acne, I was putting all kinds of stuff on my face and eating all kinds of things that they said would clear my acne. But of course, those things never worked and only just, like, led me to feel more frustrated. So I'm careful in introducing an episode that's 11 things you can do to shift your relationship with your body today, just because it feels like it brings up that sometimes diet culture-y feeling. And I think the essence of what makes those things feel funky is that it sort of makes it seem so easy of, like, you know, you just do these things and that's it. Poof, you have an amazing relationship with your body. And that's not the case. These 11 things I'm about to give you can help you certainly shift your relationship with your body. But if your body image distress is currently, like, a 9 out of 10, then these things aren't going to take you from a 9 to a 0 or a 1. They might help take you from a 9 to an 8 or a 9 to a 7 or even a 9 to an 8.5. Like, these are going to help you shift. And some of these things might be really useful and impactful for you. That's my hope in presenting an episode like this. But I don't want to give the idea that, like, if you just do these things, then you won't struggle with your body image, because body image is systemic. The way we feel about our bodies is so much bigger than us. It has to do with the messaging that we receive in our societies about what bodies are morally superior and what bodies are morally inferior. This isn't all just a matter of personal responsibility of, like, just do these things and you'll be healed. So, big disclaimer up top. And then my other disclaimer, which, if you've been a longtime listener, you've heard me give this acknowledgement before, and that is, anytime I talk about body image, I always want to be really clear and say that I recognize that I hold several unearned privileges, one of those being the privilege of being straight-sized, which means existing in a body size that isn't oppressed in our society or marginalized in our society. And so if hearing these tips from me feels shitty because you're like, you just wouldn't get it, I understand. Like, maybe that this isn't the podcast for you. And I totally get it. If you want to hear conversations around body image with folks who have more similar lived experience as you do, I also have several episodes where I have guests on who have lived experience in larger bodies and share that lived experience. So you can check out some of those other episodes. I think the most recent one would be with Bree Campos, who is a body image expert, and she shares her story living in a fat body, and she's just wonderful. I've done a lot of body image supervision with her, and I absolutely love her work. So I'm absolutely not offended if you decide that you don't want to hear conversations around body image from me. And if you do, I'd love to have you stay around, and I'd love to share this list of 11 things you can do today to shift your relationship with your body. The first thing that you can do today to shift your relationship with your body, if you are a person who is on social media, whether that's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you can and should unfollow people who make you feel bad. This can be hard if there are loved ones in your life or family members who are posting about their weight loss journey or sharing about the newest diet they're on or whatever, or even less overt if they're just like sharing pictures of them or screenshots of their workout after they go to the gym or whatever, and they're like, you know, gains or whatever they say, then maybe you don't want to unfollow or unfriend someone who you feel like is a family member or a loved one, or that would be awkward. On most social media platforms, you can actually mute someone so they don't, it's not like you're unfollowing them and that could bring up question and they could be like, wait, why'd you unfollow me? With muting, it's just that their content won't appear in your feed. So you don't have to be hit with this content that's going to feel upsetting and triggering to you. But you also don't have to unfollow them and stir the pot if that would feel awkward for you. What's important to know when it comes to unfollowing people who make you feel bad or muting people who make you feel bad is you don't have to have a reason beyond, like, I don't know, their vibe just, it just doesn't make me feel good. And I'll give an example from my life, not related to body image, but I'm no longer on social media. But when I was, I would sometimes get other dietitians in my feed or business coaches or people like that sharing, like, I make X amount of money in a month or a week or whatever. And sometimes it would make me feel bad because I would be like, oh, am I doing something wrong as a small business owner that my business isn't generating that same revenue or doesn't seem to be at that same scale? And it just led to super unhelpful comparison. And so I unfollowed those people, right? Like, I don't need that in my life. And some of them, I guess I maybe muted, some I unfollowed. But then when it comes to body image, it might not even be that someone's like explicitly being like, this is my diet or this is my workout. But some folks, some influencers, some creators just tend to post more body-centric content. And if that rubs you the wrong way for whatever reason, you don't need an explanation. In the click of a button, that person can just be out of your feed, like the feed going into your brain. That can be really supportive to help you stop comparing yourself and also stop getting this like unrealistic idea of how bodies look and what is possible through diet and exercise. Because as we know, like that person who's posting their weight transformation or whatever, we're only seeing one part of it. They're not showing several months later, weeks later, years later, whatever it is, when it wasn't sustainable, they fell off the wagon, they're struggling, feeling shame. So remember that, like, we're only seeing people at one point in their story, but it can be hard to remember that all the time. So that's why I really recommend unfollowing people who make you feel bad about your body. You don't need more of an explanation or a reason. And if it's not possible to unfollow, then you can mute. And if you don't know how to mute, you can Google like how to mute someone on Facebook or Instagram, and that should come up. The second thing you can do today to shift your relationship with your body is very much related to the first one, which is diversify your feed. So if you're unfollowing people who make you feel bad, I want you to work on adding people into your feed who help expand your perspective of the different ways that bodies can look and help you to see that it's possible to live a full and expansive life in a body that exists outside of this like thin ideal and this beauty ideal that we've all been sold. Though I'm no longer on social media, I have a list of some great accounts with different body diversity being represented. And if you want that list of people to diversify your feed, you can head to the link in my show notes and you can grab that free resource. I'm also not just talking about diversifying your social media feed. I'm also talking here about diversifying the other types of media that you consume, like movies, shows, books. The more we can train your brain to see that, like, people exist in all different body sizes and different shapes and different abilities, and all of those bodies are valid, the more that we can feel accepting of our own body instead of using this beauty ideal that is completely unrealistic as a measuring stick for how we look. So this can actually start to shift your neural pathways the more you consume different media of bodies looking different ways. So in that downloadable resource guide that you can get via the link in my show notes, there's also going to be some other recommendations, some YouTube videos, some documentaries, some books, some shows, some other things that will help you to expand the media that you're consuming and therefore help to shift your neural pathways to see that your body isn't wrong for not looking like that, like it girl on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, or on the billboard. Actually, your body's normal. Like, there's so many different ways that bodies look. It's just that we often lose sight of that when we're constantly being served this like curated person who meets the beauty ideal. And also, so often I see in advertisements where they're like, oh, plus size models, oftentimes these women still meet many beauty standards. So it can still feel like, okay, yeah, that woman's in a larger body, but like the way her fat is distributed, she still closely meets the beauty ideal. Or, you know, the way her face looks or her skin looks, she still meets the beauty ideal. So I think we can do better with diversifying what we consume, which does a lot on a neural pathway level to shift our sort of reference point for how we see ourselves, because we start to see that, yeah, there's so many different ways bodies can look. The third thing you can do today to shift your relationship with your body is wear clothing that fits you. When we shove ourselves in to clothes that are too tight, it makes us hyper fixate on our body. Because of course, if your pants are pinching you or your shirt is constricting and too tight on your arms or whatever it is, you're going to be thinking about your body all day, because there's physical sensations that are reminding you that your body is feeling constricted, right? Like, there, of course, how can you go throughout a day with forgetting about your body when your body's being pinched and shoved by clothing? So I want to recognize that wearing clothing that fits you is a privilege, right? It takes financial resources to be able to acquire new clothes if your body has changed, and there can be so much emotions and feelings wrapped up in getting yourself new clothes. So if this whole idea of getting clothes that fit you feels so overwhelming and intimidating, let's at least start with like one pair of pants and maybe like one shirt for whatever the season is, one pair of shorts or one dress or whatever it is that you can have as a go-to, just to get curious and experiment with how do you feel about your body when you're in clothes that fit you. I remember in my own intuitive eating and body image healing journey, this was like mind-blowing to me. For years, I tried to shove myself into like the clothes I wore in high school because I thought that that would like be motivating, and I thought that that would keep me from sort of giving up on my smaller body. But spoiler alert, what ended up happening is I just felt physically constricted and uncomfortable every day, and that just led me to feel worse about my body. I remember getting a pair of pants in my actual size, the size that actually fit my here and now body, and being like, whoa, like I immediately feel better in my body because, again, I'm not being pinched and shoved. And though there were a lot of emotions that came with purchasing a bigger size, ultimately the pleasant feelings of being in clothing that fit me sort of outweighed the emotional turmoil that came with getting a bigger size. This is something that I know is so much easier said than done, and it's something that I work deeply on with my one-to-one clients because clothes can be so emotionally charged. But let's just look at this as an experiment and see what happens when you wear a pair of pants that fit your here and now body, or a shirt or a dress. How does that feel in your body? Does it shift how you feel about your body? The fourth thing you can do today to shift your relationship with your body, spoiler alert, this is my favorite one on the list, and this was actually the inspiration to create this list. You can watch a documentary about outer space. Okay, what does this have to do with healing your relationship with your body? I love a good documentary about outer space because it gives me such incredible perspective of like, whoa, we are literally existing on a floating ball suspended in an infinite universe that's expanding infinitely every second. Whoa, like this whole thing is a miracle. This whole thing is so trippy when you really think about it. And for me, that just helps me get out of this sort of self-centered mindset that I think is really a product of diet culture. This mindset of like, everyone's looking at me, everyone's staring at my body, my body's all I can think about. I think it can help us to get out of our little sphere of me and my body and my distress and can take us into this big bird's eye view of like, whoa, we're part of this whole expansive, incredible thing that is living in a human body on Earth in this infinitely expanding universe. Like, whoa. I just think that this perspective is something we can forget. Or if you're me, you think about it, well, not right now, but there's been periods of my life where I think about this perspective too much and it really spooks me out. I'm like, how can I just like fold my laundry or brush my teeth when, oh my God, we're on a floating ball suspended in an infinitely expanding space. Like that kind of existential angst can sometimes be like, it's a balance between thinking about it, but not thinking about it too much that you like can't do your daily tasks because you're just like, what's the point? Life is so wild and, you know, we all turn to dust one day. Hopefully this lands okay with you. I know some people are really comforted by that fact and other people are like, wait, this is so scary. It spooks me out. I used to be the latter. Like I would literally wake up in the middle of the night and be like, oh my God, mom and dad, I'm terrified. Like we all turn to dust one day. I was a very like existential, anxious child. But now I actually find a lot of comfort in that. And I think from a body image perspective, watching a documentary about outer space or even like the Big Bang or just even like honestly like a nature documentary can help us zoom out and connect to like we are part of this whole ecosystem in this world and our bodies are just like the vessels that carry us through space and time. That's a little heady. If that one got too heady for you, maybe it's one you skip. But if you're here with me and you're like nodding along, then some outer space documentaries, there's only one I can think of off the top of my head that I really like because I feel like I never know the names of them because they're all like similar. But I watched this one on, I think it's on Amazon Prime now. It was called One Strange Rock. You might have to pay for it now, but honestly, I think it's worth it. The last episode, like there's like, it's like a series, One Strange Rock, and one of them's called Home. That one really did something for my brain. I think about it a lot. But there's so many other ones for free on whatever subscription services that you're subscribed to, or even just like YouTube, or I'm sure TikTok has this kind of content. Seek out some content about outer space, about nature, something that's going to help you remember that you are a part of this whole miraculous, complex system that is life. Okay, the fifth thing you can do today to shift your relationship with your body is to understand your gifts. So what are your gifts? Your gifts are the thing that make you you that have nothing to do with your body. So the way I like to illustrate this is like I'm holding my Stanley cup because yes, I was influenced and got a Stanley cup. I'm going to take a sip. Hang on. And I'm also holding this like Pikachu mug that my partner has on his desk because I'm recording this at his desk. So imagine I pour the water from my Stanley cup into this Pikachu mug. The water has stayed the same, just the container has shifted, right? It's no longer in the Stanley cup now, it's in the Pikachu mug. So similarly, when our bodies change, whether that's from aging or gaining weight or losing weight or getting pregnant or whatever it is, what's inside of us, aka the water in this metaphor, stays the same, but our container shifts a little the way it appears. So understanding your gifts is understanding the contents of that water. Like what are the things inside of you that even when your container, the appearance of your container is shifting, those things still remain the same. So how you can get clear on your gifts, there's a few different ways to do this. And this is something I dive in much more deeply with my one-to-one clients and my course participants. It's one of my favorite things to help clients uncover. So there's a few ways you can go about this. One thing you can do is you can text a loved one or call a loved one or FaceTime a loved one and say, you know, I was listening to this podcast and they gave me this prompt. I wonder if you'll entertain this question. What are the things that you love about me? First of all, likely they're not going to answer a physical characteristic. But if you wanted, you can say that have nothing to do with my body. This is where your loved one's probably going to give you some of your gifts, right? They might say, like, you're an amazing listener. You're so creative. You're so innovative. You are incredibly hardworking. You are able to make any situation an adventure. You are incredibly caring or loyal or whatever it is that they're going to say. So that's one way to figure out your gifts. And it could be interesting if you like do this with a few different loved ones. And often there's themes because you are who you are, and people probably, more than one person in your life probably gets to experience your gifts. If that feels too scary and you don't want to involve anyone else, you can derive your gifts on your own by making a list of the things that make your heart happy and another list of the things that make your heart sad. And from there, we can pull your gifts, because everyone has unique answers to the things that make their heart happy and to the things that make their heart sad. And the answers to those questions really point us in the direction of someone's gifts. Like, the reason something makes your heart happy or sad is usually related to a gift. So this is very intangible. Let me give you an example so you know what I'm talking about here. Okay. Something that makes my heart happy is seeing someone accomplish their goals or their dreams. Like, if I like stand at the finish line of like a race, like a marathon or whatever, I am sobbing, even though I don't know these people. I'm sobbing. Seeing someone get like recognized for something that they've been working really hard on and they're finishing it. I'm really big on through hiking and the Appalachian Trail. Like, I watch a lot of hiking videos on YouTube, and seeing people vlog like finishing a hike that they've been on for 5 months and like getting to that end point, I could cry. Like, just seeing someone accomplish their goals gets me so emotional. And so seeing that and like how much that makes my heart happy, I can take that and say like, okay, well, what gift can I pull from there? Like, why is it that that's how I am? And for me, that feels like it's related to my gift of having really deep empathy. I'm able to like feel other people's emotions really deeply. Of like, wow, like they're running this race. Like, oh my God, I feel the power and I feel so happy for this person that I don't even know. And so proud of them and so inspired by them just because of this inherent gift that I have for deep empathy. I also think that gift is part of what makes me a good coach, because I can feel and sense other people's emotions deeply. Something else that makes my heart happy is reading like a short essay or a book or listening to a podcast where I feel like, oh my God, yes, yes, yes. Like, I just like all of this is resonating so hard. Specifically, like, I like reading like short personal essays or memoirs. And if I were to analyze like, why does that make my heart happy? For me, I it feels related to a gift that I have for seeing people. I feel really happy when I feel seen, and that is directly related to my gift for being able to see people. To give an example of like how we would turn what makes your heart sad and derive a gift from there. So something that makes my heart sad is when somebody is being excluded or left out, especially like in a situation where like there's a conversation and like if someone's like not able to like get a word in, or if there's like three people and like two of them are talking and one person's just sort of like not being acknowledged or pushed to the outside, that really upsets me. And so to think about how you derive a gift from that, think about, I have a gift for making people feel seen. It's related to the one that kind of came through before, and that's common that there'll be themes. It's just pointing to sort of like the confirmation that that really is a gift that you have. And also, I think I have a gift for including people and making sure people feel included. But I also think it's related to the deep empathy of like, I really can feel like, ooh, that person's probably, you know, not feeling included. And like, I can feel that. So this is just some examples, right? So from there, you could pull like for seeing people, empathy, There's other gifts that I believe that I have. Those are just examples of how these come up. There's endless gifts you can have. You could have a gift for creativity. You could have a gift for social justice. You could have a gift for authentic connection or being observant. There's endless gifts that you could have. So this is something you can do to shift how you feel about your body, because it really helps you understand that you are more than a body. You are these things that are inherent in you that make you who you are, and your body is just the vessel, the Stanley cup or Pikachu mug that holds those gifts. So this is a beautiful thing to dive into, and I hope that you'll take some time to either ask loved ones or brainstorm on your own. Okay. The sixth thing you can do to shift your relationship with your body today, this is certainly not going to be for everyone, but if psychedelics are part of your lifestyle, give them a try with the intention of thinking about how you feel about your body and going into the experience with the intention of considering your relationship with your body. So this could be cannabis, it could be mushrooms, if that's something you're into, or it could be something else. The reason I put this on the list is because using psychedelics can sometimes help shift your neural pathways and how you see things and really sort of like shuffle up your perspective. I've spoken to clients who have used psychedelics. I never like recommend them in my work because that's not something that I do. But if it's already part of someone's lifestyle, it ends up being something that we often reflect on. So I've spoken to clients who have been under the influence of psychedelics and shared the experience of just feeling different about their body, of like not thinking about their body critically and just being like, oh, this is just how my stomach is, or this is just how my arm folds. And there isn't this like, well, it should be that way, or it should be this way. It can give an opportunity for a different mindset and for a sort of shuffling up of the neural pathways. And it can create an opening, whereas before maybe you felt like you're just kind of continuously running back the same neural pathways of like, you know, my chin should look like this and my stomach should look like this and my arm should look like that. This isn't for everyone. I know for some people it might have the opposite effect, where it's like, oh my God, I'm obsessing over it even more now. But there certainly has been research. I've had personal experiences. I've talked to several clients who have found experiences on psychedelics to be useful for sort of getting out of these old, deeply entrenched neural pathways of how they relate to their body and starting to see their body differently. Okay, number seven, you can take a shower, wash your hair, clean your sheets, do something to care for your body. So you can think of your body as your home in a sense. So if you were trying to have like a cozy, comfy, relaxing night in your home, but there was like dishes in the sink and like, I don't know, a pile of laundry and papers all over, it would probably feel a lot harder to feel peaceful spending time in your home. Your body is your home, right? It's like the place you're living every day. So cleaning it up in a sense can help you feel more at peace inside of it. This could look like taking a shower. Like for me, it's like when I wash my hair, I feel like super clean. It could look like washing your sheets, or I don't know, clipping your toenails or plucking your eyebrows or doing whatever like maintenance body thing that you do. Shaving your legs is a big one. If you're a woman who shaves your legs, that can help me feel like just more clean. And it's not manipulating the size or shape of your body, but it can just help you to show your body, hey, I'm here for you. I'm caring for you. I want to keep this home nice and clean and feeling peaceful. This is something that has made a huge difference for me. If I'm having a bad body image day or a lot of body image distress, and I take a shower, clean my sheets, wash my hair, those things really make a big difference. And they have been supportive for many of the clients that I work with as well. The eighth thing you can do to shift your relationship with your body is a journal prompt. So you can write your own eulogy. This is a little bit dark and maybe isn't for everyone. But again, it's another one of these tips that can really help you to shift your perspective and think about, at the end of your life, what do you want to look back on and be able to say about how you lived? And what do you want people to say about you and how you lived? Do you want them to be at your funeral being like, dang, you know, she had the perfect body. She always was quote unquote good and ate quote unquote clean. Like, is that what you want to be remembered by? Or is it, you know, the kind of person you were, the way that you connected with others, the way that you created and contributed creatively to the world or cared for your loved ones, whatever it is. So writing your own eulogy, or kind of thinking about at the end of your life when you are, you know, God willing, 100 plus on your deathbed, what do you want to look back on and be able to say about how you lived your life, what you did in your life? How do you want people to remember you? Okay, number 9, do something that puts you in flow. So a flow state is when you are doing a task that's like the perfect combination of both like challenging, but not too challenging. So something that your skill set is sort of at like the perfect ripeness for. So for me, that could be writing or cooking, baking, drawing. For some people, it could be reading. Lots of different sports, running, biking can put people in flow. And being in flow can be a really nice way to give you a reminder that your body is a vessel. It's not like the sole thing that makes you you. It's a vessel that allows you to move through the world, that allows you to bake or draw or read or ski or bike or run. And I think we hear this a lot, like your body's a vessel, you know, you're more than a body. But doing something that puts you in flow can really help you to embody that of like, you're getting to use this body to experience something that lights you up. And that's like kind of giving your brain confirmation that your body is a vessel that allows you to move through the world, because you are literally using it to move through the world in a very concrete way, doing something that you love. I love this one. I love when I am doing something. It kind of reminds me too of like, if you ever have a day where like you were so engaged that like you didn't even check your phone because you were just like so engaged, having so much fun, really present, really in flow. I think about this in a similar way of if you're having a day where you are doing a lot of things that put you in flow, so much so that you're not like body checking and fussing with your shirt or like looking in the mirror a lot, that is a sign that whatever you're doing is putting you in flow and allowing you to exist in your body instead of like self-objectifying, thinking about how you appear in your body. Okay, number 10, we're getting to the end of this list. The 10th thing you can do to shift your relationship with your body today is seek out opportunities to hear other people's stories. Knowing you're not alone can help you soften into more self-compassion. So one of the core tenets of self-compassion is this idea of like universal suffering, like whatever you're going through, if you're struggling with your body image, yeah, it's hard. And a lot of people struggle with their body image. And that can help you feel like you're not like somehow uniquely flawed or broken of like whatever you're dealing with, it is hard. And it's something that is hard for a lot of people. So ways that you can seek out hearing other people's stories. One, if you're already listening to this podcast, then you've heard a lot of other people's stories, because when every time I have a guest on, the first question I ask them is, tell me your story about your relationship with food and body. So you can go through our feed here and look for any guest episode to help you seek out more of other people's stories. Something else you can do is download that free resource via the link in the show notes that I've been mentioning. Some of the YouTube videos that I have linked there are specifically geared towards hearing other people share their stories. There's so many other ways. I know a lot of Instagram creators and TikTok creators share their story about their relationship with food and body. There's a lot of books and memoirs where people share their stories about their relationship with food and body. In the resource that you can download via the link in my show notes, I will link to some of those books and give you some ideas to get you started. But I'm sure that if you set the intention to seek out hearing more of other people's stories, you'll find opportunities to do this. Number 11 is related to number 10. This is our last one on our list. The 11th thing you can do today to shift your relationship with your body is to go out into the world and look at bodies. You can go sit on a park bench, or if you're in like a city with public transportation, ride the subway without, you know, playing a game or texting or looking at your phone, and instead look out into the world and just take notice of how many different ways bodies look. This is similar to the earlier one on the list about diversifying your feed, because it's going to help you to really help your brain see that, yeah, bodies looking all different ways is so normal. What isn't normal is the way that you've been served this thin ideal and this certain beauty ideal from advertisements and social media. That's the thing that's skewed. But if you actually go out into the world and look how many different ways bodies look, then you will be surprised to see that, like, most people don't have the thin ideal or meet this beauty standard, the unrealistic beauty standards. And I have found this really healing. So when I was living in Brooklyn, I definitely did this a lot. I would just, like, go sit on a park bench and just observe people and how many different ways their bodies look. This can do so much, even just kind of setting the intention to open your brain to the different ways bodies look. This can do so much for shifting your neural pathways. And it's also fun to just, like, get out into the world and have, like, a little task like this to help you feel connected to the whole. And I do think this also connects back to some of the other ones about perspective, of just connecting to the wholeness and getting out of your own head, because struggling with body image distress puts us in this self-centered mindset of, like, it's all about me and how I look and people are staring at me and how my body looks doing all these things. And when we connect to all the different ways humans look, or we watch a documentary about space or whatever it is, that can help us zoom out and connect to the wholeness of being a person in the world. So there we have it. That is our list of 11 things you can do today to shift your relationship with your body. I hope that there are one or two or three or 11 things on here that you will find helpful or consider trying if it's within the realm of something that feels comfortable for you. And I'm curious if there's anything on this list that really jumps out at you that you feel really excited about. If you try any of these things, I'd love to hear from you. You can leave me a voice note in my SpeakPipe app, which is, like, a cool new app that I have now that I'm not on social media, where you can leave me a voice note, or you can email me. And the link to do both of those things is going to be in the show notes. So I will see you next week. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of Shoulders Down. If you enjoyed the episode, if it inspired you, or if you learned something, consider sharing it with someone to help spread the anti-diet message. A special thanks to Softer Sounds for producing the podcast and making these conversations sound as beautiful as they feel. For more intuitive eating and body image support, visit leokernrd.com and check out the blog and our free resources. To stay in tune with me and what's happening in my business and personal life, subscribe to my newsletter at leokernrd.com/newsletter. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.